Well, good morning, good morning. We are thankful that God's grace is enough. Amen. The grace of God, the gift, free gift of God. Well, happy Mother's Day. I'm very grateful and thankful for my mom, and she's been in heaven a lot of years now, and many of you have the same experience. Your parents have passed away. Praise God that our moms gave us life and that we can be here today. And we would love to say so many things about moms, and we'll only say a few today. And I'm glad that you have each other, and I'm glad that you can, some of you, eat lunch with your kids, and some of you have had the sadness of losing children, and may God give his comfort to you. And, you know, life is a precious gift. Precious gift. We have a few announcements that we'd like to make. So, Ruth, why don't you come up first and talk about Awana? Good. I hope you have your Bible with you. We're going to be looking in a number of places this morning. Proverbs 31:30 says, "A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." And we're going to be talking about that. And, you know, when someone fears God, just remember these four things. They believe, they trust, they obey, and they serve. Okay, so when a person fears God, that means that they recognize that God is God. They fear him. That means they believe in God, they trust in God, they obey God, and they serve God. Those are just kind of the things that make up a follower of God. And Mike, on these two slides just before, we're going to sing this little hymn from years ago, Trust and Obey. All right? And it goes like this. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all those who trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. See, you have the chorus memorized. We didn't quite get the words there, but there they are. We trust and obey. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray for each one of us. We all have ears, and we all have a mind, and we're all going to see these scriptures and think about them. And we pray, God, that you would teach us. Your word is truth. Sanctify us by your truth. Lord, I thank you this morning for the blessing of life, and that each one of us, our moms, gave us life. Lord, I also thank you for the moms that are here. Lord, our moms came to Christ at different times in their lives. Some of us were raised by Christian mothers. Some of us were raised by non-Christian mothers. But Lord, from this moment on, we can shoot toward a target. We can shoot toward a target, and we can shoot toward the godly goals that you have for us. And so, Lord, I pray that whether, and I'm really speaking to both moms and dads, but it's Mother's Day, and so we're kind of focused on moms. And there is a unique influence that moms have. And I pray, Lord, that we would have this target before us, seeing the great need to mentor, to lead, and to guide those who follow us our own children, sometimes our neighbor's children. Sometimes it's the children in Awana or children's ministry, Sunday school and children's church. Sometimes it is our grandchildren or great-grandchildren. Lord, I pray that you would set these scriptures as a target and a goal for both moms and dads. Lord, we need you. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teach us and guide us. Help us to rejoice in these scriptures, to be affirmed in these scriptures, to be taught and have a target of what to do with our lives. Lord, I confess to you that I need you. I'm still growing as a parent. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this time, because we are ones who trust in Christ, to help us to be reaffirmed in our call. We pray these things and ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to say, too, that there is a treat for moms that Sherry Fitzpatrick has blessed us with. So at the end of the service, there will be enough, I'd say, for all of the ladies, young and old, to have a beautiful chocolate-dipped strawberry that Sherry made, and they will be at the kitchen counter when we're done. But I also want to ask you to pray for Sherry. Her dad passed away this week, and so she went through the loss of her father. Her business is making chocolate-covered strawberries for people all around the world, and they ship them off. And then today, she and Clay and all their boys are in Chico celebrating Mother's Day together. So she prepared those ladies for you, and then she left to go be with her family. So I just wanted to tell you all of that. So in the beginning, I just wanted to mention this one verse. It's kind of a little smaller print there, but it says this. It says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And I just want to affirm you, you moms who have come to Christ and you have been praying for your kids and you have been modeling for them. It's not that you are perfect. None of us are perfect, but that it is your target to be a woman who fears God. And remember, fears mean one who believes in God, one who places their trust in God, one who obeys what God says, and one who serves God with their life. So the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I just want to affirm again that God's word is truth. And in 2 Timothy, it talks about the fact that God's word is true and right and just, and it is to guide and lead our lives. And I just want to tell you that. In fact, whether we believe the Bible or not, it is truth. And it is the truth that God gave and that God has sustained and he has protected and he has provided for us to live by. And I'll tell you what, you will be blessed by following what God's word says. Anytime we veer off on our own and we drift away from God, we find that we start believing and thinking in other truths. And I'll tell you, it is God's word that is truth, and he has revealed it to us to live by. In fact, some ministries that I've heard of are ministries called Words to Live By. What a great title for a ministry, Words to Live By. So God's word is true and right. The second thing I'd like to say is that godly mothers impact and give guidance to your children. And I am very grateful for that. Mothers teach wisdom. Mothers have a place of vital influence in their children's lives. And I know that dads do too, but there is an incredible impact that mothers make. And I'm very grateful. I love our children. I am thankful for our kids. but I am thankful for Willie June's impact in their lives. I know, well, I know how she prays for our kids. I don't know all that she prays because she's praying before I even get up. And the prayers that you pray for your kids, and you future moms that are here, the prayers that you will pray for your kids, it is an incredible impact. I was thinking about, my only experience with mothers is my own mom. My mom was a nurse. My mom was a believer in Christ. She was nursing for so many years. That's what I think about. But she was quiet. She loved the Word of God. And she played the piano. And those are the things that I love. Seriously. Kids love the things that their mothers love. And I am grateful for that. And mothers impact kids. She also impacted me because she didn't make me repeat it, but she repeated it all the time. You know, she'd tell us things to do, and then she'd say, "Whene'er a task is set to you, don't idly sit and view it, nor be content to wish it done. Begin at once and do it." And she would always, the last two words, "and do it." And you know what she expected us to do?
Do it.
That's right. You got it. It's amazing how kids, how moms impact their children. In Proverbs 31:10, it's interesting. It says, "An excellent wife, who can find?" And it's talking about a godly wife, a godly woman, and that's a target to shoot for you girls that are younger, to be an excellent wife, a godly wife, a wife that reveres Christ even more than you, to love Christ even more than you love your husband, that you're loving Christ and you wanting to please him, please God, more than even you're wanting to please your family or yourself. Why is Mother's Day so important? Every day is important, but today we're focusing on Mother's Day, and I'd like to suggest three things. We give thanks for moms because of their influence, their guidance, their love, and their training. And I am so grateful. There is a mother's love. The Bible talks about the nurturing of a mother. Like I said, I love my kids. Probably it has to do with the fact that if you have children, you birthed those children. You carried those children. You were the nurturing place for those children. And I'll tell you, not only is there love from children to their mother, but the mother for their children. And I admire that. I admire it from a distance. Thank you for loving your kids. Thank you for cherishing them. Thank you for nurturing them. Thank you for disciplining them. All of those things are so important. That's number one. Number two, during this Mother's Day, we're reminded and recommitting ourselves to that vital training and modeling. And I think for all of us, we need to have a recommitment to this godly goal that God has given us. To say, Lord, I need your help to be able to continue doing this, to continue modeling, continue training, continue having an influence. You know, there are things that happen to us as we get older, and sometimes we can get less patient, or sometimes we can, whatever the category, but still, people are watching you. And just to say, Lord, even as a dad, I think, Lord, give me the strength to be the dad that I need to be for my kids, to say the words of encouragement, to admonish them if they need admonishing. And even sometimes my kids admonish me. But we need to remember that we have that influence. So we're reminded and we're recommitted to that. And I just would encourage you to be recommitted to that. To say, God, how could you use me in my kid's life? Sometimes that is when, like Rollins said, when we have to go back and we have to apologize and say, I'm sorry for this situation, or I need to ask your forgiveness, or you know, my attitude was wrong, or my words were wrong, or my actions were wrong. The third thing, we need to remember, choose to love and live for God for the sake of our families. You know, even as we grow older, and you, if you're human, which we are, selfishness is kind of a disease that we struggle with. And we struggle with selfishness, which makes us kind of myopic, so to speak. We're looking at ourselves. We want to please ourselves. We want to do what we want to do. And God has really called us, in fearing Him, to serve others. And we as the church are called to serve. We serve our families. We serve our spouse. We serve the church. We serve Christ with our life. So those three things. We give thanks for you as moms. We are recommitted in our life to training and modeling. And we choose to love and live for God for the sake of our families. I'm going to suggest these other things too. And I know that it's a long introduction, but why do we choose to love and live for God? We do that for our home's sake. And we do that for our children's sake and our husband's sake and our future's sake and for our world's sake. For our grandchildren's sake, I prayed this, but for the kids in Awana's sake and the children's Sunday school and children's church ministries. We choose to love and to live for God and the sake of our families, being mothers and fathers. We want our kids to avoid wrath, right? We want our kids to know Christ so they avoid the wrath of God at the end. We want to be committed to these things to guide their path. You know, you can't make your kids do anything, right? But you can model so you can guide them and lead them. And, you know, we're going to later see that verse where it says, train up a child in the way they should go. And we'll talk about that. And when they are old, they will not depart. So you, are, as a parent, are like seasoning your kids all along their life. You're seasoning your kids all along their life. And right now, they may seem a little rebellious, but you're seasoning them all your life. And you will be guiding them by the way that you live, by the way that you trust, the way that you obey, and the way that you serve. We want to warn our kids from danger. We want to prepare them for heaven. We want to lead. We want to lead lives of worth. We want them to have worth. We want them to be productive. And we want them to live their lives for God. Interesting, in this next slide that's going to come up here, go to my overhead notes, these two areas. So the wisdom that a mom imparts, and these are two stark examples. The first one is from Proverbs 1:8. It says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Okay? So remember that the target of God's writing of truth, for the most part, the target are people who fear God. So we're talking about a mother and a father who fear God, and they're training their children, and they're warning their children, and they're guiding their children, all these different things they're doing. And so it says, you know, hear, my son, your father's instruction. Now, fathers give all kinds of instruction. We're assuming this is godly instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. And there's an obligation or responsibility here that we as mothers and fathers are teaching our kids about God, about his worth and his character and the truth of him. And the truth about sin and the truth about forgiveness and redemption in heaven. It says, and children who listen to your mothers and fathers, here's what it says. Those things that your moms and dads say, they will be like a graceful garland around your head and pendants for your neck. It will be ornaments of grace and blessing for you as kids if you listen to the instruction of your parents. Now, we all know, don't we, that some children, all of us, I was a children, all of us go astray in some ways. And we struggle with, we're taking on the faith. But the parents are still responsible to be teaching and modeling and influencing their kids, no matter where their kids are at, in taking on their own faith and trust in Him. In 2 Chronicles, there's an opposite example. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 22, it says, he, talking about the person of the subject here, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. Now, if you remember any Old Testament passages, King Ahab was a wicked, vile king, worshiping idols and sacrificing children. And Ahab was an ungodly, vile, pagan king. And this is now speaking about the child of Ahab and his wife. It says, he also walked in the ways of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor in doing wickedly. So what we see is there is this opportunity for influencing our kids either for Christ or for Satan. And we have this wonderful responsibility and challenging responsibility to influence our kids. That's why we need to stay fresh in our own faith. We need to stay reading the Bible, God's Word. We need to stay in prayer for our own lives, for our husband and wife relationship, for our kids and our grandkids. We need to stay obedient to Christ along the way. And you know, this obedience, it's just constant. You know, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to walk? And you know what, you guys? It's really clear. It's all right here. And we need to stay continuing to serve, using the gifts that we have to serve our families, to serve the church, to serve God's people. We don't want to be like Ahab, this woman who was counseling their children to do wickedly. It's really stark when you read those passages of Scripture. So I want to talk for just a minute about why is it important, why we're grateful for what our moms have done, and why it is important that we continue to influence our kids toward the right. Just think of the state of our world right now. Think of the things that young people are involved in, right? In fact, young people and old people, but we're thinking about kids. Maybe they're older kids, maybe they're younger kids. Think of the condition of our world right now. Do you see our world heading toward God and obeying Him and following Him and walking after Him? No, it's just stark. There's this stark, it's like this broad freeway that's leading to immorality and idolatry and selfishness and self-serving. It's just everywhere we look. And, you know, what the Bible says about giving direction. Look at this next slide, Proverbs 29:15. It says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Okay? So this is a godly, influencing mother or father who are using the rod and reproof. In other words, the child is being disciplined so that they stay on the right path. Right? Because we don't want our kids to be harmed. We don't want our kids to experience wrath. We want our kids to be blessed. Man, I want my kids to be blessed. And the rod and reproof give wisdom. Listen to this phrase. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. That's really clear, isn't it? A child left to himself. I've kind of overused this phrase through the years, but it really concerns me when parents say things like this. When parents say, you know, I'm just going to let my kids grow up. And as they grow up, they will learn different things about religion and God. And then someday they can just choose for themselves. You know what, friends? That is a child left to himself. We are called to bring up a child in the way they should go. Be seasoning them with God, his truth, salvation, redemption, discipline, so that our kids know the way to go. I think I love music and the scripture because my mom did, and my dad did. And we have, and praise God that God redeems people who have been raised in ungodly homes. You know, I'm just telling you, the influence of my parents played a big part in my life. And you, we all play a big part in the people that we influence. So again, the description of today, and you guys have all seen this passage. If you go to the next slide with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And this just describes it. And this is a motivation why I want, and Scripture is calling us up to be men and women of the Word, men and women of Christ, of prayer, of seeking God, of having a fresh faith. It says this, understand this, in the last days, which we are in the last days, we're certainly closer to the last days than we've ever been before. In the last days, there will come times of difficulty. Does that make sense? Oh, it sure does. People, and every phrase here we could talk about, but people will be lovers of self. They will be lovers of money. They will be proud and arrogant and abusive and disobedient to their parents. They will be ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless. This is a really descriptive phrase. Swollen with conceit. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They may have the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And then the last phrase, avoid such people. Look out, identify them, be discerning, avoid such people. And the next slide, 2 Timothy 3:6 says this, and I'm going to read the verse, and then I'd like to talk about it a little bit. It says, for among them are those who creep into houses and capture weak women, burdened with sins, led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. So I want to just go back to my notes for a minute, and so I want to talk about this creep. Okay, it says that among them are those who creep into households and take captive weak women. Now, let me just say that a woman or man is weak when they don't have a solid foundation. When they don't know what they're about, they don't know what they believe, they're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. They don't know where they stand. And I was writing in my notes, you know, what kind of things creep into our lives today? Now, what happens is, as these things creep into your life, they influence you, and they tell you what to think. Stuff like this, the creeping things today, television creeps into your life, and it tells you how to think. It pacifies, and it It gives you examples. It dilutes the kind of things that we should be standing for. Television, Instagram, YouTube influences us. Music. I'll tell you, today, and I can't speak with authority to all these things. I just know what I experienced and what I hear in testimonies. But education creeps into our lives. Especially in now the high school and the college realm, you have teachers that have been hired from anywhere and everywhere, representing any kind of culture, any kind of philosophy, and that is creeping into our homes and into our thinking, and it is changing what we believe. That's why it is so, so important to know what God's Word says, so that we'll be able to discern the difference between what is truth and what is creeping in to deceive us. So it says, that these, when it says creeps into household and capture weak women, so just say, this is a person who has a weak foundation in their walk with Christ, a weak foundation in the Word of God. They're not seeking God and praying. And it says that those same people are burdened with sins. Now, why do we get burdened with a sin? Because we don't have a strong conviction to call a sin, and so we just kind of dabble in sinful stuff. And we say, well, it's not that big a deal. I can watch this, and it really won't impact me very much. So what happens is they become burdened down. Instead of being free in Christ, they're burdened down with sins. It says, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions. And go to the next slide for me, would you please, Mike or Andre? So what has crept into our families? And I just want to say these simple things. Practices of culture, philosophies of man, principles of the world, pride and selfish pursuits, deceptions from the enemy. Those are big things. And when these things creep into your life, you become burdened down with sins. And you become led astray by various passions. In this list, practices of culture, we as Christian people need to understand what God says about raising our children. We need to listen to God instead of Freud. We need to listen to God instead of the other culturally accepted things. I want to tell you that God's way is that a mom would influence her kids for Christ. That's God's way. And I want to be really careful how I say this. God placed you, moms, with the ability to bear children, the ability to birth children, the ability to nurture and care for and nurse and care for children, the arms, and fathers are part of this too, but mothers, you're so very important. And this idea of the world has said to our moms, what the world values is money and careers and exalting your own worth in worldly, temporal settings. I just want to tell you, moms, your greatest place of influence. I am not against, the Bible is not against careers. The Bible is not against being excellent in what you do. Proverbs 31 speaks to that clearly, how this godly woman had many irons in the fire, and I can't imagine how you all do what you do, moms. But man, the world has underestimated the power and the need for the mom to be there to raise kids. You are raising world-changing people. Your influence is the greatest influence on these kids' lives. I know that our four kids and where they are and what they are doing has an awful lot to do with the prayer and investment and care of their mom. I know that our world is really changed. It takes two salaries to make almost to make every home go. Rarely can a husband and wife raise kids without having two incomes. And I don't know how you're going to balance this. But moms, your influence, grandmas, your influence is so extremely vital for your kids' lives. It is so, so vital. I just want to thank you for the nurturing and the loving and the years that you have invested. And I want to encourage you to keep loving and investing and modeling and trusting God as your children are older and your grandchildren are coming around. You have a tremendous impact in those kids' lives. It doesn't mean that our kids are going to be perfect, that they're not going to have flaws, that they're not going to go through tough times. But when it comes to practices of culture and philosophies of man and principles of the world, the world does not value the influence of a mom like God values the influence of a mom. You know, some of our kids have to deal with, because it's taking two incomes, you know, who's going to be the child care and how they're going to pay for the child care and all of those things. And it is a challenge for every husband and wife to pray through that and decide who they're going to get for child care and who's going to invest in their kids. But don't take lightly where you place your kids so that your kids have people that are in a wholesome setting, not just cared for physically, but cared for spiritually as well. Let's see. Reevaluating here. let me just jump to the next slide. 2 Kings 17:32. And we've looked at this in some other weeks, but I just want to simply read this. It's talking about the people of God, the Israelites, and it says, they also feared the Lord and appointed from among themselves all sorts of people as priests of high places who sacrificed for them in shrines of the high places. So they feared the Lord, but also served their own gods and the manner of the nations from among whom they had been carried away. Here was the problem, okay? And here is the philosophies of the culture and the practices of the culture. Israel was coming out from Egypt, and they were now coming into the land of the Amorites and the Hittites. Well, the Amorites and the Hittites served other gods, right? And so what they said to Israel is, Israel, when you come out of the land, when you come out of Egypt and you go into the land that God is giving you, don't be influenced by the gods of the land. Okay? That's the admonition for us. Be careful, moms and dads, not to get influenced by the gods of the land. Here's what that verse says, 33. It says, so they feared the Lord. So they had a fear of God, Yahweh. But they feared the Lord, but also served their own gods. It's like these people were double-minded. They were thinking about God who saved them and delivered them out of Egypt, But they went into the land of the Hittites, and they said, oh, well, you know, they're worshiping this god, and they're worshiping that god, and their culture's doing this, so we're just going to do what they do. Yeah, we still love God, but we're going to do what they do. God says, you are entering dangerous territory. Serve the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is what we're called to do. I want to skip the next slide and go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for just a moment. And I want to, this is a very familiar passage, but I just like to highlight a couple of things and then we'll close with this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Okay, I'm just going to read these verses and then briefly share about them. Okay. By the way, this is echoed in Ephesians chapter 6 in the New Testament, but it says this: Hear, O Israel. Okay, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, just establish that God is God and we're going to serve Him. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. So God is saying, parents, He's saying, Jim and Willie June, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Be careful not to get lured away by the gods of America and California and what's happening on Instagram. Don't follow those gods. Follow the Lord your God. Love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It says, and these words I command you today shall be on your heart. So they're in you. They're part of you. You guys, you can't know the words of God if you don't read the words of God. Reading this book, listening to this book, please consider making it a priority. He says, I command you this day, these words shall be on your heart. Then teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house. See, and we're so caught up. We watch the news. We play games on our computers. We watch Instagram, and we look at Facebook. And not that those are in and themselves, you know, if you are controlled and you. But man, can they suck hours out of your life, right? So it says, talk of the word of God with your kids. It says, you shall teach them diligently to your kids. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk in the way, when you're driving down the road with your kids, when you lie down, when you rise up, that the words of God are on your mind when you lie down at night and when you rise up at night. And if you go to sleep with Instagram, it's not going to be the same as going to sleep with the word of God. Now, there are wonderful, wonderful Bible programs that you could be listening to, interesting teachers and people that are proclaiming the word of God. So it says, when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them as signs on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house. Now, let me just say this in a different way. First, verse 4, love God with all your heart. Make Him a priority. Be thinking about the fruit of God's Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. Then it says, diligently teach them to your children. And I just want to add the word intentionally. So if you have children at home and you do some kind of a devotion with your kids where you're reading the Bible, A Journey to the Cross or Come Let Us Adore Him or some kind of a tool that's teaching the word of God to your kids. And then it said, let the scriptures speak. So in the way the passage said it, it says, talk of them, bind them, write them on your hands. Write them on, back in those days, they had these little boxes they tied on their hands and they had scriptures on their wrist. And so they were writing them on their hands and they're writing them on their foreheads. They also had these little boxes and this, it looked like a headlamp, except it was a little box and it had scriptures in it. And so you're writing them and writing them on the doorposts of your house. It's like, it's kind of cool when you walk in and somebody's got a sign above their house that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's that kind of a thing. What happens is your kids see that. and they see what you believe and who you trust and what you obey and why you serve. So there's that as a guideline. And then to tell your kids that the promises of God are true. You know, in this passage, it says later on, it says, and when the Lord God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, and then it goes down and it says that that you remember what God has done. And I know I say this a lot, but it is important to know what God has done and remember what God has done. And it says, lest you forget the Lord. And I have often talked about the fact that if you bring your boat up to the dock and you get out of the boat and you walk away and you come back and you forgot to tie your boat up, it just drifts away. It's gone, right? So we need to be tied up to the Word of God so that the Word of God is there. And because what happens if we don't tie ourselves to the Word of God is that we drift. We just drift. And I've decided now, it's not that we drift. We just, it's like exponentially, we just are repulsed. We just go off. If we're not rooted to the Word of God and tied to the Word of God, it's like repelling magnets. I don't know if you found that, but I can go from thinking about God's Word and close the book and turn my head and it's like I'm miles away, caught up in worldliness or caught up in chores or caught up it's just like, I got to write this stuff on my head. I got to write it on my hands. I got to put it on my doorpost. I've got to talk about it when I rise up and when I lay down, because you know what? As a human being, I don't naturally seek God. Verse 12 talks about don't forget. Don't displace this truth. Don't put God on the back burner. Verse 12 says, he is the Savior. Verse 14, it says, don't choose to go after other gods. And those often come in pride and riches and selfishness. It's the same things that Satan tempted Jesus with in Matthew chapter 4, when it says Jesus was tempted by Satan. Remember? So same kind of things that tempt us. Okay. I think that I can't tell you anymore. Our children's ministry is done, and they're waiting for the parents to come get their kids. I just want to tell you, moms, I want to thank you for your love, your investment, your prayer, that you pray for your kids. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for the prayers of my mom. I'm thankful for the prayers of my wife for our kids. I'm thankful for your prayers for your kids. And praise God, you have this incredible responsibility. Right after that terrible list in 2 Timothy 3 where it says, in the last days there will be troubled times and all that, just read the next three verses, okay? Because those next three verses tell you how you can invest in your kids. And they're beautiful, incredibly challenging verses. So worship team, why don't you come up and we'll close our time. Happy Mother's Day to you. I'm so glad you're here. Ladies, there's a really nice little treat for you back to say thank you and to celebrate you. And that includes you soon to be, you know, someday moms that are here. And we'll let just our ladies and girls have those, okay? Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Father, I thank you for the richness of your word. Thank you for the promises of God that are true. And in years from now, when we have all died and our heart has stopped on this planet, we're going to find that everything you said was true. Lord, we are human. We're saved if we've trusted Christ, but we're human and we get distracted. And Lord, I just pray that we would purposely and intentionally seek you, admit our weakness, admit our humanity, and The Bible says, diligently seek after Christ. Thank you for a wife that'll motivate her husband to seek Christ. Thank you for a husband that'll motivate his wife to seek Christ. Thank you for children that bless us and we can help them lead Christ, lead into the Word, and vice versa. Lord, I pray for all our kids, young and old. We love them dearly. In fact, we'd give our life for them, Lord. Most of all, we want them to know Jesus as Savior and walk in your way. We want them not only to know Jesus, but like it said, this is the woman to be praised, the one who fears God, that our kids believe and they trust and they obey and they serve God with their lives. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for your word that reminds us. Thank you for the influence. And thank you for the blessing when we do things your way. We love you. We want to serve you. We want to walk with you. Bless every person here. If you've never trusted Christ, you can. He loves you. He made you. He will forgive you. Believe him. Trust him. If you're a Christian, God, may have we reestablished the target that, God, we will intentionally ask for your strength to live like this. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's stand. Yes. For our walkers next weekend, God, that you would keep them safe and use them to your glory. Amen. Let's stand and...
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. I just want to say that we want to celebrate our graduates, and we're going to begin to collect the names of people in your family who have graduated, grandkids who have graduated, kids who have graduated, and this year. And so if you have a junior higher or a high school or a college or a post-grad graduate in your family, we'd like to take those names down. So you can call that in, or next week we'll have a place in the bulletin you can write their names down. And so I just want to say, and this is a very personal thing, but 23 years ago, I stood at this pulpit, and I showed you a bunch of pictures. And they were 23 and a half years ago, 24 years ago, and they were the sonogram pictures of Juliana, because we were having a little girl, and we showed you those. And next Thursday, Juliana is graduating from nursing, and she'll be pinned with her nursing degree, and on Saturday is her graduation. So we're going to be gone to San Diego to celebrate with her, and Nick Campagna is going to be preaching, and I just wanted you to know that, and so that's why we're gone next Sunday. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you that. And congratulations to all your graduates, too. So God bless you, and we're dismissed.